This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. Tony D is out for the day getting some surgery, so we are wishing him well in that process and, of course, hoping for a smooth recovery. I am tagging in for Mr. Tony Denton Day. Here we got Ron Culver out in our Houston studios rolling with us for the next 2 hours, taking you until 9 a.m. Eastern time when Jake Asman will take over here on the SportsMap Radio Network. A lot to cover over the course of the next 2 hours. Jeff Bezos could be making his way to D.C. as the majority owner of the Washington football team. Ben Standing of The Athletic, who covers the Washington football team, will join us in hour number two. We'll break the moves down of the possibility of Bezos joining the NFL, as well as some really interesting comments that Alex Smith made about the Washington football team and about his entire year. So that's coming up in hour number two of today's program. The All-Star reserves were announced in the NBA last night. And, of course, you cannot release All-Star reserves without people going completely and utterly nuts about who they think was snubbed from the list. It's a dance that we do every single year around All-Star break in the NBA. We will get to some of the All-Star snubs as well as some of the action that we saw in the NBA last night. A couple of good games, a couple upsets in the world of college basketball as well that we will touch on. And Baylor back in action in the world of college basketball. They narrowly escape an upset against, quite frankly, what is a very, very bad team in the Big 12. So we will touch on that at the bottom of the hour. But, of course, the big news of yesterday, Tiger Woods involved in a major accident, serious injuries, non-life-threatening injuries. We'll have the latest from the incident and the latest on Tiger Woods coming up on the other side. This is Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio.
SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. Dent Day filling in for the great Tony D, alongside Ron Culver with me out in our Houston studios. The big news yesterday that sort of flipped the entire sports world on its head was the crash of Tiger Woods, a single car crash in California that led to some very serious injuries, thankfully non-life-threatening injuries. It was a tough day, I thought, for the media and the way that they covered this story. We will touch on that in just a second, but late last night or early morning, depending on where you are, a statement was released on Tiger Woods' official Twitter account, kind of giving a description of what actually took place in the surgery room. Because for the longest time yesterday, we were doing what I felt was kind of the round-the-clock coverage. We had certain television stations completely adjusting their programming to cover this Tiger Woods story. But for a majority of that shift in time, we were just kind of waiting outside of Tiger Woods' hospital. Like, all right, what is going on there? We know he's in surgery. We don't actually know what's happening. Well, the statement released yesterday said that Mr. Woods suffered significant orthopedic injuries to his lower extremity that were treated during emergency surgery by the orthopedic trauma specialists at the Harbor UCLA Medical Center, a level one trauma center. Comminuted? I don't understand medical terminology. This isn't commuted, but it was an open fracture that broke in several different places and broke the skin. Fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of his tibia and fibula bones. They were stabilized by inserting a rod into the tibia. Additional injuries to the bones of the foot and the ankle were stabilized by a combination of screws and pins. Trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg required surgical release of the covering of the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling. That is directly from the words of the doctors at the UCLA Medical Center that performed the surgery on Tiger Woods. What we know now is that he is resting and recovering in his hospital bed. So it seems like everything is as good to go as it can be. Obviously, when you sustain a major injury to the extent that he did, certainly nothing is good about that. But seeing as at one point we thought the jaws of life were needed to extract Tiger Woods from the car, and then we learned a few hours later that was not the case. They simply shattered the windshield and were able to get him out via that opening. And then we thought maybe he had broken both of his legs, which that did seem like a very, very strange report to come out without actually knowing. We knew that Tiger Woods needed assistance to get out of the vehicle. He could not stand or move on his own power. But, you know, most people, when they roll multiple times in a car, can't do that. So just to run with the fact that he had broken both of his legs, and now we know that at least it seems, I got reading that it was just one leg that was, you know, had to have surgery. I'm sure the other leg was affected, but it didn't seem like he fractured both of his legs. And it felt like people were running with the story yesterday that he had fractured both of his legs. I was not a huge fan of the way some of the media handled the situation yesterday. Obviously, Tiger Woods is an icon in the sport of golf.
You mean you didn't like the wall-to-wall coverage?
The wall-to-wall coverage outside of his hotel did rub me a bit the wrong way.
I was impressed. I mean, it's one of those situations like when a storm's coming or a catastrophe happens, and then the reporters are literally just repeating the same thing over and over and over again
for hours on end.
But this was, I mean, this literally was like one paragraph of information that they just stretched out over, a 17-hour day.
It was a tough look, because at a certain point, like, there are ethics in media. I understand this is a huge story and it should be treated as a huge story. But completely adjusting programming slates so, as Ron said, you can regurgitate the same information for like 6 hours before we get anything new. There was a press conference at 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. local time, where we finally start to get new information. Well, the incident came at 7 a.m. local time in California. So that's nearly 12 hours where we were kind of scrounging for information but really not getting anything. And one of the biggest issues that you come across in doing this wall-to-wall coverage without actual new information is that you sort of put the talent, the on-air people, the ones that are in charge of speaking in front of microphones and cameras, you put them in a very tough spot because you always want to try and get something new, put some new twist on it. But when you put a new twist on something with no real new information, you start to say silly things. And that was on full display on CNN. Andy Scholes put himself in quite the bit of pickle yesterday. Take a listen.
What are your thoughts right now?
I mean, Brianna, stunned, I guess, but not entirely surprised by, you know, what we're seeing here. You know, Tiger back in 2017 was found by police, pulled over the side of the road, you know, asleep in his car. You know, he had said he had taken a lot of painkillers at that time, because we all know Tiger's undergone a lot of surgeries over the years, and painkillers have become a part of his life. You know, when I interviewed him.
Great point.
Fantastic point. Way to just put that out there with absolutely no factual evidence to back that. It's one thing to have those conversations in like a group chat amongst friends. If you're just boys and you're talking, well, oh, this could be an issue, that's one thing. I think that's humanly allowed to do that. We have these conversations. We're not going to pretend that we don't. But doing it on CNN, doing it on what is supposed to be a news network, there's a very thin line between speculating on certain things and reporting on certain things.
I literally yesterday heard everything that could have possibly caused this accident, aside from a squirrel running across the road. It literally was, you know, I mean, we hear, I mean, I heard the same thing. Both legs were fractured. You know, all of a sudden, I might have heard at some point, it's like, yeah, he's going to have one of them amputated. But the whole conversation was like, well, he had been out the night before. He was heavily hungover and possibly could still be drunk. And when this accident happened, and you're sitting there like, I mean, okay, but is that what happened?
Like, do we know that for sure?
Yeah, I'm thinking now maybe he was just street racing. You know, why not?
And when we got the press conference, the people, the first responders were like, yeah, there was no sign of any inebriation at all.
Yeah, they cleaned up all the bottles. Tiger couldn't move his legs, but he threw all the bottles into the bushes.
Exactly. He just ditched them really, really quick. I mean, come on. We have to be better than that. Now, I did. I fell for some clickbait. As one should. Right. I was scrolling through Twitter, and I came across a video from TMZ, because TMZ is now like the pinnacle of journalism in our society.
Well, they're pretty accurate. I mean, you remember the whole Michael Jackson thing? That's where they rose to fame, and they were the first ones to report that Michael Jackson died, and we literally watched video of a bunch of people standing outside his house with no information at all. And just waiting, like, TMZ was the first to report this. It's got to be gold.
I don't know how they get their sources, but they do a wonderful job. I fell for some clickbait of a surveillance video of Tiger Woods' car minutes before the accident. And when I tell you it is a 37-second video and it literally shows Tiger Woods' car go by, there is an arrow pointing saying, hey, this is Tiger Woods' car, and that's it. That is it. I wasted 37 seconds of my life. It didn't even look like he was going like crazy fast either. There was a car in front of him, and he was in the right lane. So it's not like he was going ridiculously fast. It wasn't like, boom, you couldn't even see it. You didn't need to slow-mo the video. It was literally just Tiger Woods driving right on by. And what you could see was the sign on the side of the door. And now that we know Tiger Woods,
does he have a label on the side of the door?
There's a label on the side of the door. It's the first thing that caught my eye when I saw the photo of the crash of the car, because the label is the Genesis Invitational label.
So he stole the car. Is that? And can we go there now?
Well, I'm thinking if you're Genesis, right? Are you really, really upset that, oh, my God, the first thing you see is our logo on the car? Or are you thinking to yourself, you know, as terrible as the situation is, we know Tiger Woods is okay. This is really great marketing for the safety standards in our car. Because the way that it rolled, the speed that he was going, it could have been much more tragic than it actually was. But the first thing is you see this Genesis Invitational. It's on the passenger door and it's on the driver's side door. Like, you cannot miss the fact that this is one of Genesis's new vehicles.
So it's like, what you're describing is like he stole the pace car.
Or it was gifted to him. But it looks like it does. It's a pace car. This was on display at the event this weekend.
Or back, like, what was it, like 2007, 2008, when gas prices were going just through the roof? And people started putting advertising on the side of the door to kind of offset it, so it would be a tax write-off. Is that Tiger's way of writing off his gas tax?
Well, what's the gas prices in California right now? They're normally higher than everywhere else.
Oh,
right?
It's ridiculous. I always tell the story because I you know, lived in Southern California most of my life, and I had a Chevy Tahoe.
Oh.
And at this time, during, I think it was the summer of 2007 or 2008, right? It was just, it was ridiculous. I mean, we're getting around $5 a gallon. Oh. Somebody had asked me, like, how much does it cost to fill up your car? And I'm like, I really don't know. Because I'll stick the pump in. My card limit or the gas pump limit was $75. I would fill it up. I would use all $75 of it. It didn't fill up my car, but there was no way I could put my card back in there and say, no, let's top this baby off. So all I know is, I mean, you know, every single time I went to fill up, I paid $75 to get as much gas as I could, but I just didn't have it in me to stick my card back in and say, you know, let's fill it up some more. Let's throw another 20 in there. Why not?
So how late into that process did you pick up, like, biking? Just
that's
getting away
problem.
From the gas pump.
The biggest problem, and you heard it everywhere, Southern California needs a better public transit system. Because the only thing they really have is a bus. I mean, you know, I lived in San Diego during this time, and they have a train, which is nice. We did take the train into going into downtown or to go to baseball games at Petco Park from time to time. But it's the only place you can get onto this train is near the coast. I mean, fortunately, we live near the coast, so that helped out. But if you were inland, then you have to drive. And that's the problem with Southern California. No matter where you are, you have to drive. And so that's why they can, you know, get you with these gas prices.
You know what I did see on the video that I fell for? I did see a bunch of bikers. One of the other angles, there was just a little crew of bikers.
Yeah, that's a common thing.
Nice, easy ride at 7 a.m. local time. They had their little flashers on, even though it was light outside.
So what you're saying is that they're the reason Tiger got into an accident.
Yeah, you saw all the flashers. He's like, why are these bikers out here so
early?
Yeah,
one of them cut him off.
Things just didn't go well. Well, thankfully, they were on the other side. But, I mean, blame it on the biker. When in doubt, blame it on the bikers.
I do.
I feel like that's a safe way to go about just about any problem that you have driving. If we get any more information throughout the course of the next 2 hours, not expecting to, because my guess is that Tiger Woods is fast asleep in his hospital room. But if we do get any more information, we will be sure to let you know on that one. It took one tweet from J.J. Watt, a singular tweet referencing an old meme, to send multiple fan bases into a complete and utter craze about their team signing the free agent. I'll tell you what the tweet was next. This is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. This is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Denton Day filling in for the great Tony D. We got Ron Culver with us in our Houston studios. J.J. Watt all of a sudden became this great artistical human being, or people took things way out of context on the Twitter machine yesterday.
I'm going to guess the latter.
It is 100% the latter. So J.J. Watt's a free agent at the moment, and he is enjoying the fruits of being a free agent. And he's always been a relatively active guy on Twitter, just with some of the things that he tweets throughout the course of the season. And he's been the face of Houston sports for quite some time now. So it is new to see him tweeting about free agency, which he did earlier in the week. He tweeted free agency is wild. Well, yesterday he tweeted a tweet, and this is based off of a meme. It's a meme that I think rose to prominence, if we do our meme tracker here, in the mid-2010s, which is, it was just people making fun of the public school system and what they teach you. Well, J.J. Watt tweeted, mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. That's it. He tweeted that just before 9 a.m. Eastern time. But he tweeted, mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. And when I tell you that fan bases across the NFL lost their ever-loving mind trying to dig into this tweet. What does it really mean? What are the hidden messages? They went nuts. People in Cleveland went nuts. People in Buffalo went nuts. A couple tweets here that I saw, some of my favorites, of people just going completely and utterly insane. Mitochondria generates energy in a cell. The Cleveland Browns play in First Energy Stadium. Coincidence? I think not. J.J. Watt, he's coming to Cleveland. Mitochondria Research Center, another tweet here. Mitochondria Research Center, located in Buffalo. J.J. to the Bills. You can't spell mitochondria without Mitch. Hashtag bear down.
I saw another one that was mitochondria kind of resembles Swiss cheese.
Who, go Pack, go.
What team is known for cheese? Packers.
J.J. Watt, confirmed cheesehead. It's one of the things that kind of makes you love the internet, because you can do a lot of terrible things on the internet, but this is one of the things that really makes you enjoy the internet, just how far people will take this. And again, it is literally just a meme making fun of the public school system for teaching us about mitochondria as young kids and not about, like, taxes. And that's all J.J. Watt tweeted for this to completely blow up. I saw one Twitter user, they put a compilation together of some of J.J. Watt's recent posts on social media as if they were trying to connect the dots here. Again, J.J. Watt has become M. Night Shyamalan in the minds of Twitter users across this country. It was four photos that J.J. had posted, one of which was his shoe print in the snow, one of which was a screenshot of the Free Agency is Wild tweet. Another one was something that he posted about his dog and his television. And there was stuff in the background that I think people were trying to pick apart. It was like a love sign in the background, and there was something on the TV. And then the other one was the mitochondria tweet. Now, if J.J. Watt has become this artist, this guy that is eloquently crafting together who he is signing with in free agency in this series of tweets, the dude deserves a ridiculous signing bonus. He deserves ridiculous amounts of donations to his charity, which he deserves in general, but I say we should multiply those if this ends up being the case. Here's the thing. Maybe he's just having fun on the internet. Maybe he just wants to remind kids that mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. Hell, maybe he's watching Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Well, I mean, you know, let's face it. Most of the kids across America are virtual learning. He's just throwing his hat into the ring. He's got time. What I love most about J.J. Watt right now is that he is enjoying free agency, because we know he's never been a free agent.
He's saying, y'all are virtual learning. We know you're not paying attention to your teachers on the Zoom. I'm going to tweet out the information for the teachers.
He's already jumped in on Zoom classes. So why not take it a step further? Why not have why can't we say it's Dr. J.J., Dr. Watt? I mean, he needs to, you know, teach a class on physics and, you know, major like in electricity. Wattage, if you will.
Here's our conspiracy. Here's the official conspiracy of Denton Day and Ron Culver. J.J. Watt is switching careers. He's done in the NFL. Yeah. He's going to be a science teacher.
Yeah, he wants summers off.
I think this confirms it. He wants to teach kids about mitochondria. He wants to teach kids about electricity flow and wattage. And, I mean, there's tons of marketing that you can do there. I mean, I think we might need to copyright that on your end so you can make a little bit of money off that.
Nah, I give it for I'm like Jonas Salk with the polio vaccine, just giving it out for free.
Just giving it for the people, for the people, by the people.
Yep.
So J.J. Watt, new career on the horizon here. He's going to be a teacher. All right, coming up, all-star snubs. Who made the list? Who didn't? Plus, I made a terrible mistake on the internet this week, and I am paying for it. That's still to come. This is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
wake-up call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake-up call on Sports Map Radio. Denton Day sitting in for Tony D on this Wednesday. Tony D undergoing some surgery, so hoping for the best there. You can join the conversation on Twitter at TheDentonDay, at SportsMap Radio, and at Ron Culver. You can tell us we're smart. If you want to tell us we're dumb, put it in the notes section on your phone. We don't really got time for that. I made a terrible mistake, and I should know better than this, but I made a terrible mistake over the weekend. And we'll get to all-star snubs in the NBA just a second. On Friday last week, I went down to Lynchburg, where I went to college, to hang out with some of my college friends. Literally just a day trip. We ate good. We drank good. It was a good time. It was a late night. Good time. I got back late Saturday night, early Saturday morning, or a little after midnight to my home here in Northern Virginia. I should have gone to the gym on Saturday. I did not go to the gym on Saturday. Instead, I was scrolling through the internet, which was probably my first issue. But as I was scrolling through the internet, I came across a tweet that was talking about fatheads. Remember, fatheads were all the rage, probably like 7-8 years ago or so, maybe a decade. You could slap your favorite athlete on your wall. And I came across this tweet, and I was very, very curious, because I hadn't heard of fatheads in years. I hadn't seen fathead commercials in years. And I was just curious, like, do fatheads even still exist anymore? So I went on to the Google machine. I just typed in fatheads, and turns out they do exist. And that's not, like, fatheads existing is not the mistake that I made. That could still be a very good thing. It's very profitable, I assume. But the mistake I made is that I Googled it. And for the past 4 days, on every single device that I have, I Googled this on my laptop. I got ads for it all day yesterday, all day Monday, on my phone. Nonstop. Instagram ads, Twitter ads, Google ads, just on the side of Google. I don't even Google anything on my phone. I open the tab up once, and I get fathead ads on the side. I'm supposed to be a pioneer of technology as a millennial. Like, I feel like that's my role in society, to not be annoying like Gen Zers, but to understand how it works. And here I go making the mistake and getting blistered now with these ads on fatheads. And I feel like I become the progressive commercial where you're becoming your parents. Because as I was looking on the website for fatheads, the first thing that came to my mind is, you can only buy fatheads if you own a home. Because you slap one of these bad boys up in the apartment, the landlord is not going to be a fan. And it's going to be a pain to take off. I also never had a fathead, so maybe it's not that hard to take off. But I'm assuming, just based on what it is, it's going to be very difficult to take off.
I think it peels off, right? Was that part of the appeal of fatheads, is that you can move it around from place to place if needed?
That would make sense. Yeah. I never had.
That it wasn't. It was like a clinging vinyl. It wasn't really a sticker. Like, bumper stickers are the worst because you need a razor blade and some turpentine, and you know,
you're sitting out there for hours.
Yeah, and you change the color of your car, basically.
I guess if you can peel fat heads off, then they're not that bad. See, the problem was, the only fat head that I ever wanted was Gilbert Arenas, and that one became a no-go about a year after I really tried to pitch that to my parents, and then he brought guns into the locker room, and they were like, nah, we'll save it. We don't need the fat heads. So I lost out on that pipe dream. This is a wake-up call on Sports Map Radio. Denton Day filling in for the great Tony D at the Denton Day. All-star rosters released in full yesterday for the NBA All-Star game. We knew the starters. We did not know who the reserves were. In the Eastern Conference, James Harden, Julius Randle, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Zach LaVine, Ben Simmons, and Nikola Vucevic make up the Eastern Conference reserves. And in the Western Conference, Chris Paul, Paul George, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Zion Williamson, and Anthony Davis. Davis will end up being replaced by somebody who did not make the team in the Western Conference due to the injury, because I think, one, he won't be healthy for All-Star Game, and I think every single Laker fan and LeBron James would want to fight Anthony Davis if he had missed all these games for the Lakers and then makes his return in the All-Star Game. So he will not be there. In the Western Conference, the biggest snub is, without question, Devin Booker, so much so that the teammate of the guy who is eventually going to be replaced, and the guy that just so happens to be the most powerful basketball player who is currently playing right now, LeBron James, tweeted that Devin Booker is the most underrated star in today's NBA. And then he followed that up by saying Damian Lillard was next. Or he said disrespected, excuse me, not underrated. LeBron James called Devin Booker disrespected, which I do agree with, because Devin Booker is a walking bucket, as the kids say. So LeBron James making his pitch very clear. He wants Devin Booker in the All-Star game. I do think it's funny, in an ironic way, that there was a son that was on the All-Star team, and it is a guy that LeBron James shared a moment with that you can't undo. You know, there are certain things in your life that you will take part in, moments that you will be a part of, that you can't undo. And I think right at the top of the list for most people, I mean, most people don't actually get to do this, but if you do get to do this, it's at the top of the list. Sharing a ride on a banana boat with another human being is an unforgettable memory. And LeBron James shared a ride on a banana boat with Chris Paul, who made the All-Star team, but LeBron says he wants Devin Booker to be on the All-Star team. I think the big problem is this. Why do only 12 players from each conference make the All-Star team? Why do we not expand the list to 14? Most NBA teams carry anywhere from 13 to 14 on an active roster on a given night. The roster even expands a little bit further, especially now during COVID, to 15. Why does the All-Star game condensed to just 12 guys from the Eastern Conference and 12 guys from the Western Conference? Put 14. We had to have at least the top 25 in there, right? I mean, 12 and 12 is 24. You know, quick math there. At least the top 25 guys should all be playing in the All-Star game. And if your dispute to that is, well, that'd be too many guys to actually play, I have some news for you. A lot of the guys that are angry about being snubbed are probably not actually angry that they don't get to play in the game. They are angry for not getting the title, and in turn, not getting to use the title of All-Star when it comes time to talk about money. You can use All-Star titles on your resume to tell teams, hey, look at me. I made an All-Star team. You need to give me a little bit more money. Certain guys have incentives in their contract where if you make an All-Star team, you get a cool $500,000 boost on your salary that particular year. Now imagine being the one guy on the outside looking in, not making the All-Star team, knowing you are tearing teams up, not making the All-Star team, losing that $500,000. I'd be a little upset about that too. I don't really see a whole lot of other snubs though in the West, if we're just being completely honest. I saw a couple names thrown around yesterday. DeMar DeRozan was thrown around from the San Antonio Spurs. And then I kind of looked his numbers up, and I don't think the All-Star game and the All-Star appearances should be strictly a numbers thing, but DeMar DeRozan's numbers were not exactly flooring by any stretch of the imagination. San Antonio is good, but they have like six dudes that average double figures. So while DeMar DeRozan is the best of those six dudes, I don't know if I would put him into the All-Star conversation now, unless they expand it. You expand it to 14, put Devin Booker and DeMar DeRozan on there. I'm all for that. In the Eastern Conference, the big snub was Trae Young, who became the first player in 30 years, according to StatMuse, to average 25-plus points, 9-plus assists, and not make an All-Star game. Now, Trae Young had a pristine opportunity yesterday to prove all of the doubters wrong, to prove everybody who thought and everyone who really didn't vote for him to be an all-star wrong. And nothing proves them wrong quite like going 28 points, 12 assists, and 7 rebounds while shooting 9 of 27, 1 of 7 from three-point range, and helping the Cavaliers break their 10-game losing streak. That was Trae Young's performance after not making the All-Star game. 28 points on 9 of 27 shooting. The number of points that a player scores matched with the amount of shots that he takes, those numbers are not supposed to be one digit apart. That is not how that's supposed to work. There should be a much wider gap. I'm not saying like a Grand Canyon kind of gap, but there should be a much wider gap between the points scored and the amount of shots taken for a player. Trae Young goes 9 of 27, 1 of 7 from three-point range, which is supposed to be his thing. Like, he is a three-point shooting guard. He goes 1 of 7, 28 points, and 12 assists. The question with the East, if we're not going to expand the rosters, is who exactly does Trae Young replace? Because the guards for the East, you have James Harden. Like, James Harden's had a weird year, but you are out of your mind if you think the NBA is going to kick James Harden out for Trae Young. That is not happening. Not now, not tomorrow, probably not ever. They are not kicking out James Harden for Trae Young. Jaylen Brown, who I think is very deserving to be an all-star this year, I think he's played absolutely sensational. Zach LaVine in the exact same boat, in my mind. He should have been an all-star years ago. He's one of the more prolific scorers in the Eastern Conference. And, oh, by the way, the Chicago Bulls are actually kind of good this year. If the playoffs start right now, Chicago is the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference, where Atlanta, led by Trae Young and led by all the marquee moves that they made over the course of the offseason, they're sitting in the 11th spot in the Eastern Conference. So I will give Zach LaVine the nod over Trae Young there. If you want to have a conversation about Ben Simmons, I'd be all ears to that, but I would quickly remind you that Ben Simmons is probably the best perimeter defender of a guard in the NBA right now. Of a superstar guard, I should say. I still think Drew Holiday is the best perimeter defender in the NBA. But Ben Simmons is right up there in that conversation. He was voted in because of the great defense that he plays and because he's a Mr. Do-It-All. I mean, he's averaging 15.7 points, 8.3 rebounds, 7.9 assists. The dude literally does everything on the floor for the 76ers, but it really is the defense that separates Ben Simmons from Trae Young. The reality of the beast, and we do this dance every single year, is that not only do our players going to get snubbed, it's actually very good for players to get snubbed for the league and for the team because it draws significant interest. Last year, Bradley Beal was snubbed despite averaging about 30 points a game at the All-Star break. Now he's an All-Star starter. He's one of the best two guards in basketball right now. So Trae Young should use this as motivation. Atlanta is probably very, very upset, but they're thinking to themselves, all right, if Trae Young really kicks this thing into gear here, we start winning games, then we'll really show him. And that should be the goal. That should be the goal if you are Trae Young. A lot more to get into. One more hour here to go. We'll do the good, the bad, the dumb. Hour two, Ben Standing will join us. But we'll wrap hour number one of Wake Up Call next on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wrapping up hour number one of the Wake Up Call, this Wednesday edition on Sports Map Radio. Denton Day in for Tony D at the Denton Day on the Twitter machine. Talking earlier in the hour about the Tiger Woods accident. He's recovering from surgery. A lot of things wrong in one of his legs. But Tiger was in the process of doing like a celebrity shoot. So Tiger can't actually play golf prior to the accident. He was recovering from a back surgery. He was with Dwayne Wade earlier in the week. And reportedly, he was traveling to that same golf course that he was at with Dwayne Wade to meet up with Drew Brees and Justin Herbert to do a little bit of golfing together. And I'm guessing Tiger is like teaching these guys how to golf. If I had to guess, seeing as Justin Herbert is like a year removed from college, and he went to college in Oregon, and he was a quarterback, I'm going to guess he didn't do a ton of golfing. I'm sure there are nice courses in Oregon, though.
I'm sure there are.
But I'm going to guess he doesn't have like prestige. I mean, he might have clubs because he has the money, but he wasn't golfing a bunch.
Now, I felt this yesterday when watching all the Tiger Woods coverage and seeing, you know, everyone explode on Twitter. A lot of blame was being placed on David Spade. And I felt that was upsetting because David Spade had tweeted out a photo of like, hey, went golfing with this guy too. He's pretty good. It was a picture of him and Tiger sitting in a golf cart.
I think David Spade is, I think he's part of the documentary that they're doing. Because I think Tiger is in the process of doing a documentary.
Of course he is. Why not?
I mean, hopefully it's better than the thing that HBO Max did on him, which just felt like a couple hours of slandering Tiger Woods for a little bit. Can't blame David Spade. He's golfing with everyone. There's like all these celebrities tweeting out pictures with Tiger Woods. Why does David Spade get the blame? Unbelievable.
Because he was out with him the day before, and we all know his his habits.
All right, one more hour to go here on Sports Map Radio. We'll dive into the possibility of Jeff Bezos joining the NFL. That's to come. Wake up call, Sports Map Radio.